A recent report by the Rapid Research Information Forum has found that the COVID-19 pandemic that has dominated 2020 has left women working in STEM facing significantly disproportionate increases in both caring responsibilities and disruptions to working hours and job security in comparison to their male counterparts. Joining us now on The Daily to unpack the findings of the report and why women working in STEM areas are still experiencing such gendered inequalities is Professor Lisa Harvey-Smith, Australia's Women in STEM Ambassador. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Molly.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Pleasure.
Now, firstly, how has COVID-19 impacted women in STEM?
Well, this rapid response Information Forum research report, which was authored by a large number of people, headed up by Professor Emma Johnson from the University of New South Wales, really found that women were disproportionately impacted by COVID-19 due to really the underlying inequalities in the way that society operates. So one example is that women with children under 12 years old have been particularly impacted in the number of hours that they have available to work due to the sort of gendered split of childcare and unpaid labour in households. The women have had huge burdens on them since the COVID-19 lockdowns, in particular when it relates to things like childcare, the lack of childcare outside the home with the very severe stage 4 lockdowns, but also the homeschooling situation where women have taken on way more than their fair share of that, because women already do more than two times the unpaid domestic labour that men do. That's very well researched. But also, women are more likely taking the burden of homeschooling. That's not the case in all households. But you know, with those compounding factors, we're finding women put under much more strain. The other factor is women are more than 1.5 times more likely to be in insecure jobs. We've seen in the university sector, universities have taken huge financial losses from the lack of foreign students, for example. So women are really in precarious positions when universities and other organisations are taking decisions about job losses. So there really are a number of factors that are leading into this.
And when we talk about the pandemic, it has dramatically shifted how we work, working remotely. Would you, when we talk about how can workplace cultures adapt with these changes so that women are not at a disadvantage?
Yeah, there are a number of layers to this too. I think we have to, and workplaces have adapted very well. Certainly, you know, my workplace, my team works remotely. We interact very well by video conference. But we've made adaptations too. You know, for example, for staff working in Victoria under extraordinary circumstances, enabling them to take extra caring leave due to the particular lockdowns there and the children having to be out of school, workplaces can adapt. And certainly also breaking down the expectations that people work extremely long hours or have full-time availability. Work can get done very well if you treat your employees well, you make them feel trusted and part of a valued team, and measure the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic and the changes we've all had to endure during this time, and not just measure things in the traditional way, which is hours of availability, which really isn't a measure of productivity and how good someone is as an employee.
Absolutely. And it would be nice to see some of the flexibility that we have seen in some workplaces kind of continue into the future. When we're talking about the Women in STEM decadal plan, when we're talking about how to understand that, where does COVID-19 kind of sit with that? Is it helping towards that decadal plan, or could it be a bit of a setback?
I think it actually could help us if people can embrace these changes. So the Women in STEM decadal plan is a 10-year plan. to create a better working environment for everyone in science, technology, engineering and maths. And that's a huge workforce, more than 2 million people across Australia work in those sectors. It's not just scientists and engineers, it's people in construction, it's electricians, it's people working in the medical services, and in all sorts of sectors across the country. So this is a very broad and very important story and question. But I think those, as you say, the changes that we've made during COVID and the adjustments that we're making really need to be continued and work towards the goals of that plan, which is to make work flexible and for everyone, and to include men in that. So to give men equal parental leave and those responsibilities in their families, and to stop the pressure on men as well to work full-time and for women to work part-time. I think we've got to get away from thinking about workplace flexibility in terms of women being allowed to work flexibly. Men need to be allowed to work flexibly and encouraged to do so, because we really have a fundamental problem in our society, and that is that men with children earn more than men without children. But for women, that burden of having a child means that they earn less. They're more likely to drop out of their careers or work part-time. They lose vast amounts on their superannuation in the middle of their careers, which is a really important time. And women retire with far, far, far less superannuation than men. So women are really in a precarious financial position. If we just focus on flexibility for women, we have to drive towards a society where men and women are given equal opportunity to raise their children if they choose to have them, and to really take full part in their lives and a full and healthy life outside of work.
Absolutely. That's a really, really interesting point, because the flexibility and the equality for both is going to affect equal parts men and women, and all genders, if we have that equality on both sides as well. Thank you so much for joining us. It was an absolute pleasure to have you on The Daily.
Pleasure, Marley. Take care.